Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's happening?
Oh, this is a
big
party, man. Fucking dig it.
Stop it.
Brother, brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer. For only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some love and kiss here today. Oh, picket lines and picket signs. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
Hello, 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 and welcome everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I welcome every one of you to the Lady T EOTM All Talk Radio Blog Show. This is our second, and I'm so happy and so proud to be here. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited about this week's topic. But before I get into it, first of all, you guys know how I like to do it. I have to. It's a must. That I thank the people who got me to where I am, starting with Miss Carla Barnes, Ronnie, Shantae, Teresa, the Street Team, Militant Grandma, Mocha D, the whole host of everybody who has something to do with the EOTM Internet Queens of Internet Radio, who gives us this platform to get our voice heard. And I just thank you guys. Hats off to you as well. Now, I'm your host, Comedian Lady T. Teresa Polis, for those of you who would like to Facebook me in and pop in and send me messages, I'm loving this because I'm getting to talk to people on the Facebook engine as well as on the radio. So I'm thanking you guys, and keep the messages coming. I need that. You guys are the air beneath my wings. I how corny is that, huh? But today's show is definitely another part of the four-part series, which you know we did last week on youth and crime, and it all goes back to our intro music. What's going on? What's going on with our youth? And that was the subject I wanted to tackle in a four-part series. Now, today is youth and sex, and we will go along with youth and music after that, and then we'll finish up with youth in Christ because I think that they all tie in together. But before I begin, let me go ahead and introduce to you my co-host panel. Who do I have? My co-host, Ms. Sabrina Massey, are you there?
Yes, I am, girl. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you
good to be back.
Oh, great. You're so welcome. You're so welcome. I love having you guys. And also, we also have to get the disciplinarian on board. We have drill instructor Cold Man. And, I mean, he's exactly what his words say, Cold Man. Are you there?
I am. How's everyone doing? And I'd like to say thank you for having me aboard and look forward to the discussion we have today.
Oh, my gosh. Are you guys really ready for this? Today is going to be like a really serious topic because, you know, last week I was great because I grew up in an era where, you know, you got a whooping. I'm from Georgia. You could tell from my voice. I know how to pick a good switch, and I know all about that. But, oh, my God, and let me just go back because there was one subject that I forgot to hit last week, or not that I forgot, we ran out of time. But you guys, for those of you who were in the Los Angeles area or in the L.A. area, Cali out there, I was doing this study, and I read where 5,541 gang-related homicide victims were included in the study. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, my God, homicide means death. And that means, you know, drive-by shootings. That means people who were in the wrong place, how they say the wrong place at the wrong time, or innocent victims. But, Jesus, 5,541, and they were between the ages of 15 and 34 years old. Oh, my God, that thing hurt my heart so bad. Oh, oh. What do you guys have to say about that?
Well, to me personally, it sounds like a lot of senseless deaths for
exactly. No
real reason. I mean, if you interview the majority of these people that are, you know, reporting, you know, these deaths, they probably can't give you a clear-cut answer as to why it happened. You know, there is no real reason that, you know, our teenagers and, you know, young adults are just dying in the streets like that.
Oh, man.
That's my opinion.
Yeah, yeah. Coleman, you have any input?
I would say that there's no insight. I think it's more of a selfish... it's a selfish present to, if I as an adolescent would be thinking of me, I'd be thinking of me and my immediate surroundings rather than the magnitude of what I'm doing and what it's all about. Someone pissed me off or someone irritated me for the time being for the next 5 minutes, and I'm going to take care of me for the next 5 minutes, my ego for the next 5, 10, 15 minutes. If I was to actually think beyond that to tomorrow, I would see how small whatever the action or transgression is for the next 5 minutes would be. This pissed me off, and I'm going to take care of this right now.
The next
tomorrow.
5 seconds of your life decision is going to determine the next 5 decades of your life.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
My word. Oh, my goodness. Well, I was expecting to have some callers from the L.A. area. I really don't. My heart goes out to anybody who, you know, who's going through this. Like we had a caller last week, Mr. Bryant, who lost a family member, 15 years old, who they just shot for no apparent reason, and it was mistaken identity. And this is a good kid who was doing what he was supposed to do. That's all we ask, just doing what he was supposed to do. And he got, I mean, so I'm pretty sure of that 5,541, some of them people weren't supposed to. I can't say, I mean, some of them people weren't supposed to go. It's just, oh, my goodness. But you know what? I don't want to dwell too much because last week, the first week was youth and crime. And I want to show that our listeners that all of this, these four topics that I presented to our CEO for this topic idea all ties in. So that's why I chose youth and crime, today's topic, youth and sex. Next week, youth and music, and so on, youth and Christ. So today is youth and sex, and I'm going to just segue my way into that because I know that a lot of people, a lot of the shootings or the accidental killings or on purpose or what have you were done because of a woman or because of a girl or because of a girlfriend. The eighth grader that we spoke about last week, Ratley, who got her male partner stomped her in the head because she broke up with him. And you don't just start writing notes, "I love you, do you like me?" Check yes or no. These kids, you remember that? This is what I remember.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that?
I definitely remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like me? Check mm-hmm. yes, no. Check yes or no.
Yes, yes. This thing has gone... Oh, my goodness, this thing has gone so much further because when you talk about trying to stomp somebody's head or trying to kill someone because they broke up with you, then you are lacking what they had or what they were doing to you or about you or with you. We said that a lot of it was self-esteem. I'm not sure, but there is a young man that I definitely want to speak to. And we're going to get into that real, real soon. But this is what I wanted to – I saw a story on The View. In other words, I saw a story on The View where Whoopi and Sherry and the whole panel was talking about teachers in the area have passed a bill or trying to pass a bill where they can speak to our young kids about sex. This is in the school, y'all. And they said the age would start at 5 years of age, and they would explain to them the meaning of sex. They would give them terminology. And if you have some kids in the room, you might want to remove them, you know, because we're going to get into some really, really sensitive issues right now. Ugh, what's wrong with my mouth? Okay. They were telling the kids, they were providing them with terminology of penis, vaginal sex, anal sex, openings, oral. What is this? How do you introduce such a subject to and that is not even their place to do. But before we go any further, I see that I do have a call, and I normally don't do this until the half of the hour, but I was so impressed with this young man, and I'm hoping that he's on. I see I have an 813 caller. Are you there, 813?
Yes, ma'am. I am here.
Oh, very good. Could you go ahead and introduce yourself to the panel?
My name is Spencer Thorpe. I'm from Tampa Bay, Florida, and I currently reside at Miami Job Corps Center getting my technical degree in computer tech.
Very good. And the program that you guys are with is called?
The YPM Pull Your Pants Up program.
Oh.
Wow.
Say it again, that's baby. Say it. Rewind. Oh.
YPM, the youth program, Pull Your Pants Up program.
Okay. And I was so impressed. I was so impressed with this young man because, and now I'm just going to give you a few minutes, and you go ahead, take the next 2 or 3 minutes, just explain the whole origin of the sagging pants, yada, yada, what you guys are trying to do. Go ahead.
Yes, ma'am. The sagging pants concept actually came from the prison system, meaning that you were showing some form of homosexuality, that you belonged to some man in the prison system. And now this system of this concept of the sagging pants is getting among our youth, among our entertainers. So the youth look at the entertainers and see, hey, they're doing it, I can do it too. But that's not the right way to go about it. It's not the right way to to look at it. And so the youth power movement is making the pull up your pants campaign, and we're involving youth. Actually, I'm 22 years old, so I felt like it was a good position, a good program for me, so I can tell my other peers that can relate to me, hey, pull your pants up, this is not a good look. We're supposed to be professional and be men, and so we strive for our young men to be leaders because they follow. We need to have good leaders. And so it's basically a program to become a better leader and believe that you're a leader and tell other of your peers that they're leaders.
Oh,
it's a powerful movement, and I believe in it.
That is so wonderful. Now, you guys, and I don't know if you caught it, but I did. It started in the criminal system, in prisons, and it was attached to sex. If you had your pants sagging, that meant that you belonged to someone, or you know what I'm saying? I mean, if they all tie in, everything on this subject ties in to each other. I see that I do have a 912 on hold, and I'm expecting a lot of callers. I just want to let you guys know, in the midst of our conversation, just keep holding, because we will get to you. We are going to get to you, okay? And again, sir, back to you. With this program that you've started, and I noticed that there was something that you said, you wrote a letter to the Walmart Corporation. What was that all about?
Yes, ma'am. I wrote a letter to the Walmart Corporation to notify them that I do see employees and consumers as well with their pants down. Now, when you go into a store, you're wanting to go into a store nice and clean because it makes you feel like, hey, I need to shop there. I like this environment. I like the way their shelves are stocked, and their employees, the customer service. You're looking for a pleasant shopping experience. But recently I've been going into Walmart and have been seeing their employees with their pants down, hanging out. Customers have to see that. If you're walking in a employee's in front of you, you don't want to see what they're wearing under their shirt. You want to go shop what you're looking for. So I wrote the letter to them notifying that I see this and that it's not a good image amongst us and our youth and all the consumers as well. So I wrote them a letter asking them to change it, tell the customers and the employees that pulling up pants sagging is not a good look for your corporation, and they need to tighten it up.
That's what's up. And you don't find a whole heap of these people out here. It comes from the upbringing. I think that it comes from the upbringing. I think that they have to have a moral value. And I think it was drill instructor Coleman who said something along the effects of if they don't have any moral issues and they fear nothing, or something along those lines, that, you know, the system is just going to go awry. And that's why we have so many kids in his boot camp on a daily basis, If you don't mind, caller, I'm going to ask you some questions. And if you don't want to answer, you can say I don't want to answer right now. But some people lost their virginity, I'll say, at the age of 16. Like some of us, and I ain't ashamed to tell it. I'm telling you, as soon as your mom say don't do something, you try to go do it. And when you find out about it, and you be like, ooh, this is better than white bread. Why? Wait a minute, who invented this thing right here? You do some things that you ain't got no business doing, thereby causing you to go get your own switch and get whooped or beat until you get at a later stage in life, yada, yada. Okay, how old were you when you lost your virginity, if you don't mind me asking?
I was 18 years old coming into it. My dad and my mom basically sat down with me. They did give me the proper talk.
Very good.
It was just thing that I wanted to you know, learn
experience.
To experience.
Right.
So, you know, I took it. I took with their advice, and I used it. I applied it, and I went about it the safe way. And I, it was something 18. I was a grown man at 18, so I decided I wanted to have sex, but I protected myself. Well, and that was a decision I made.
So is it Kenny? Did you say your name was Kenny?
My name's Spencer.
Spencer. Okay, I don't know. Okay, so Spencer. So let me ask you this, and I hats off to you. I mean, I pay you homage for being so honest and open with us. Do you have any kids?
No, ma'am.
Oh, God, you're an icon. You know that? 22-year-old black male with no kids.
No kids, no kids.
How did you not wind up on the Maury Povich show? Because it sickens me to see that show when you got a female, a young female, who are testing 4 and 5 guys, and this is all for ratings, I'm sure. But you got this young female who's given birth to a life. This is a life. This is another person, an addition to humanity, and she doesn't know the father. And she's a young baby up there holding a baby who's trying to find her baby daddy. So that's why I give hats off to you. Because, and you all know of the stories and of the show I'm talking about.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Okay, so hats off to you. But I'm pretty sure, Spence, that you know of some young adults who have had way earlier experiences.
Yes, ma'am. I do. I have couple younger fellows of mine that come up to me and ask me things. I tell them, you know, you can come and ask me anything because I wouldn't give you advice that I haven't been through in life. So you can get on the right track. This is what I did to keep on the right track. This is what you need to do to keep on the right track. That's advice I give to my fellow peers.
And Drew Instructing Coleman, do you have any questions for our young guest panel today?
Actually, I do. I'm impressed. I'm sitting back. I'm jumping for joy, and to find that someone so young is actually taking the action and giving back. That's what I call giving back to the community.
Mm-hmm.
You were at a point. You come up, and now you turned around and say, I'm at an elevated intelligence or an elevated life form now, and I want to turn around and lift you guys up. Rather than putting everyone down, you turn around and start uplifting. And that's something I'm impressed with.
Very. I tell you, when I met this young man, I was taken aback because in the study that I've done, I find that many adults find it hard to talk about sexuality with the young people. They don't know. They don't know what to do, especially your own children. And I know with my kids, they kind of shy away. Now, they might tell you something, drill instructor, or they might share some stuff with Spencer or even Miss Massey, but they will not come and tell me. And I don't know why it is that they feel embarrassed or shy. And sometimes they're not sure about the facts. I'd rather them try and find out. Go ahead.
And, ma'am, like, when I first did it, I did go tell my dad, and that was, like, the scariest feeling in the world. But, you know, I may end
up.
Are
you serious?
I did. I told my dad. Because that was my dad. I mean, I had to tell him what was going on in my life so he could tell me some things that he went through so I can learn. So I went to my dad and told him, I did this, Dad. He's like, did you do this? I said, yes, sir. He said, you're good to go. I said, I'm good to go.
Isn't that wonderful that you had such a great rapport? Because you know how many young people out there have nobody, no one that they can actually look up to or even talk to about such matters.
Right.
They and I don't know. I don't know what to think. I'm wondering, is TV an influence with you, or do you think that TV is an influence on our youth, or is it the videos, or is it, what is it? Is it the peer pressure? What is it being a youth?
I think it's pretty much a lot of those things you said, but it's also, ultimately it just goes up to the decision of that person. I mean, when I used to be in a stage when I was younger, peer pressure, and I see what things are happening on TV, but ultimately it was my mindset. Yes, I did do some of that stuff. I used to drink, I used to smoke, I used to do all that. I'm not perfect, and I evolved. It took a process for me to get where I am today. But I also ultimately made that decision, like, I'm not going to follow what I see on TV. I'm my own person. God destined something in me, and so I have to find it myself. I'm not going to follow nobody else. I got to do something for me. This is what I just found myself, and I had to go through a lot of stuff, lately, a lot of stuff to become the man I am, and I'm humbler, I'm happier, and I just think anybody can be happy. They just need to go about it the right way.
Oh, gosh. You know what? I just take hats off. I just love you. I love your spirit. I love what you're emulating. I love what you're trying to do. Just give us one more time the name of your program so that we can log in and keep in touch with you. If there's a 1-800 number or a phone line of the person in charge of your program you'd like to give us.
Yes, I have a my program. The program is called Youth Power Movement Pull Up Your Pants Campaign. You can go to helloypm.org, or you can call. Sometimes you can call my cell phone 813-417-5624 if you want to speak to me. Any kids out there want to speak to me? I'm open to anything. Just call, and I can email me at cagebig@yahoo.com. Any letters of any concerns or situations, I'm here.
That is so wonderful. I thank you again, Mr. Spencer, for giving us a call in and sharing your life experiences with us. Continue to listen on queensofinternetradio.com/listen. Stay with us, but go ahead and open up the line. Hang up once we're finished, and just continue to listen on. And we definitely will have you or one of your panelists or one of your youth members back on another segment. Remember, we still have Youth in Music, and we're going to talk about the music videos with the little, you know, the little dime pieces that that start to dance on top of the hood. I was never chosen. But we are definitely going to have you back. Thank you so much for being with us today.
I appreciate it, and I have a blessed day.
You too. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, man. I'm thanks to that young man. He was wonderful. And I'll tell you something. They have so much there's a level of ignorance, guys, that people don't know. And you can ask, some of the teens told me in our youth group right there at the church, they was asking, you know, can you catch a disease, a sexually transmitted disease, by sitting on a toilet? That's what they thought. Things of this nature. Oh, my goodness, by sitting on a toilet. And, I mean, we all know that it's not recommended. But you cannot. That is a myth. You get an STI, you get a sexually transmitted disease by having sex. Pure and simple, guys, whether it be vaginal, oral, or anal, or by skin-to-skin touching, not from a toilet seat. And I just went on and I said, okay, let me do some of these myths and some of the other things that's going on, and let me just see what's going on. I see that I have, I do have another line. I have a 912 that's been holding. Caller, are you there? Hello, are you there, 912?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Lady T and the panel. I was waiting on hold. My name is Shanti.
Oh, okay.
Shanti.
Hi, Sabrina. So I was listening to the show, and I'm 23 years old, and I just wanted to, add my little input in there on what you guys were speaking about in reference to the youth today. You were saying with media, you have a lot of parents who, first of all, it starts in the home where the kids are now, and then secondly, you have the media where there's, you know, sex is all over the television, whether it's a commercial. If you watch anything now, it has some type of sexual input in it. So you have to be very careful on what your kids are looking at and listening to, especially with the music nowadays. So there are a lot of factors that play a role. And, again, you know, I'm from Georgia, so there are some cities who have, you know, 50% dropout rates within the students. So there is a lot of, you know, issues and problems that trickle down from education to the media industry, and it just goes back to parenting. You just have to be aware of what your kids are doing and make sure they're, you know, putting the things that are important first in their lives, and first of all, putting God first. So that's all I wanted to say. I just had to put my input in.
Oh, thank you so much for calling. That was wonderful, wasn't it, guys?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Thank you.
That was wonderful, and I thank you. I thank you that this little engine that we're on, and we're able to reach so many people in so many different areas. I'm just emphatic. I'm just like, oh, God, I'm floating right about now. I thank you, and you made a very, very valid point that it does start in the home.
And one more point, because the statistics say all the time, it's not always negative. I'm 23. I'm in college. I'm also a virgin. So for the young women out there who think that they have to, you know, have sex or things of that nature, it was a personal choice. If you respect yourself, then no one can disrespect you. So I just want to add that in as well. So that's
goodness.
All I'm going to have today.
Wait. 23 and a virgin. You're an icon yourself now. But for real, though, how did you escape that? Because I know you done. Okay, in my day, look, there was this song, say, Sarah, smile. Won't you smile a while for me? And I ain't going to eat much lie. When they played that song, we used to look for the best little bow-legged man in the room. Because, you know, when you grinding, but see, kids don't grind no more. They don't hunch no more. But see, in my day. No, for real. In my day, you look for a bow-legged man where your legs, especially if you were fat, and you could fit up in between his legs, and you got your grind on. Now, since you young, and I know y'all going to parties, and y'all don't dance like we used to dance, because when you step up in the club, everybody's hands go up, and they stay there, right? So people just jumping around in one spot. So what do y'all do on the slow dances? How did you manage to get 23 without hunching?
Well, first, I would say I dedicated my life to Christ at the age of 20. So these last 3 years have been easy.
Okay.
Now, beforehand, you know, I just was always very reserved, very conservative. I would say that it wasn't anything that my mother taught me because, you know, all of my friends now, don't get me wrong, my friends are having sex at 13, 14, 15. But I always reserved, I preserved myself. I had I was raised also with my mother, single parent, and my grandmother. So, you know, they both taught me how to be a lady and what was expected of a lady. And I kind of, you know, just learned from them. And I never wanted to be a statistic. I always wanted to be different. So I didn't want to do what everyone else was doing. I always wanted to set apart. And also, I look at myself to be valued, and I'm not the next person that you can take home. And, you know, for the women who think that guys don't cherish you for that, they actually, you know, respect that in me. And so I get a lot of respect, and I enjoy the respect. And when I'm married and I have my husband, then that is what I would do. But I just want to – I know it's a rare breed, but there are some women who are really – you know, not having sex, and, you know, they don't, a lot of times, some of them are not even Christians, they just, that's something, a personal choice that people make, and we are out here.
yes, girl, stay empowered.
And Sabrina can attest that I'm not ugly, so some people can probably say, she's probably ugly, but
well, that,
no,
I'm not. that, I'm pretty sure that's wonderful, that's Oh, my God. That is wonderful. So, I mean, I'm pretty sure they are out there crawling the earth all over the place, and I am so grateful and so thankful that you did decide to call in and share a little bit of that with us. And keep empowering others, because I'm going to tell you something. You feel empowered when you help somebody else. It sounds
exactly.
Corny. It sounds crass. It sounds whatever it sounds like. But you help, you build your power by helping others, and I promise you, you'll feel so much better about yourself.
Absolutely. Awesome. Thank you, guys, and keep, you know, doing
thank
what you're
you.
Doing, informing people, and thank you for having me.
Thank you very much for calling in, Shantae. I look for you to call back again, okay?
All right. Goodbye.
Okay. Now, we have one. I know that we have another caller on hold. We have a 954, I'm showing. Let's see. 954, are you there? 954? Okay. Not a problem. So what we're going to do is I'm going to pose this other myth, and we're going to try and get a little quick commercial break in. There's another myth that was going out that girls don't masturbate, that girls don't masturbate. And I know that masturbation is a whole nother part of the human structure, and that's a part of the human nature. And I don't see anything wrong with it, but we're going to tackle that subject and that myth as soon as we come back from the commercial break. Knight Rider, can you take us out?
Hey, I need to know about some PR work that EOTM doing, child. Tell me something about it, Sugar.
Okay, you mean PR work? Do you need PR?
Yeah, Sugar, that's what I'm saying.
EOTM Media Group is always looking to expand its roster of selective and talented clients. If you're interested in becoming a client,
yeah, I'm interested.
Please email pr@eotmradio.com or call 909-559-1763. That's our LA office. Or 678-548-9466 in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
We also have an office in DC, which is 646-713-9327. For a free consultation, please give us a call. Does that sound good?
Yeah, I'm going to give you a call with all them numbers. Well, I will give you a call, and I sure appreciate it. All right, dear baby.
Thank you, and always remember, you will always need a publicist.
All right. Very good, and we're back. Miss Massey, before the break, I posed another myth, and there was a myth that says that girls don't masturbate.
Now, oh, my goodness.
I don't know who was the one who took the poll. I have no idea. But I'm going to be the first to say that, yes, I did. I did then. I still do now. I think I don't have any problems with it. Now, on the other radio show that we were on, one of the people wanted to know if you thought it was wrong. I think that it's all intimate, and I think that it's all relative. Sometimes you can start thinking something that it's what's beginning you to do this. You understand? I think that we all have a self-satisfaction and a self-gratification that we must supply. I would rather a sexual criminal. I would rather for this man to take care of himself than to try and go rape a cellmate.
Okay.
I want to try and make it as nice as possible because, you know, as I stated earlier, we're going to tackle some really serious issues and you might want to remove the kids from the room, but I would much rather agree to that than anything else. How you feel?
Okay. As far as masturbation is concerned, for me, well, there are books that actually, you know, discuss, you know, different levels or different stages of masturbation. You know, when we are babies, we actually, you know, experience, you know, sexual, you know, sensations in, you know, certain parts of our bodies. you know, you might, and I know that, you know, I have kids and you have kids. I know that everyone that's a parent has probably, you know, caught their children, you know, doing some form of masturbation. So it's not like it's not happening. But I think that, you know, when children, you know, get a little bit older and they start to experience these, you know, sensations mm-hmm. a lot more frequently, I think it's more acceptable for boys to do it. You know, because mm-hmm. they, you know, like I've seen it on shows where they kind of touched on the subject, but they never really touch on the subject, you know, as far as girls, you know, taking care of themselves or handling
mm-hmm.
their business,
mm-hmm.
you know. But, you know, I think that, like you said, masturbation is an intimate moment that you have with yourself, and it's not something that someone else should try to mediate or try to tell you, you know, whether it's right or, I mean, it's your
mm-hmm.
body. You should
right.
you should have, you know, free range over your body, especially, you know, when you're a teenager and you are experiencing these things. These are, you need to know, I guess my feeling is you need to know what you need to get you off. Because if you're going out and sharing yourselves with other people, you're kind of putting yourself in a situation where you're allowing them to interpret what is a good feeling for you. But
mm-hmm.
if you know what you want
mm-hmm.
and you know what you need, nobody else can, you know,
yeah.
interpret
yeah.
that for you.
Yeah, yeah, only you. I understand that. Let's see. So, Drill Sergeant Coleman, how you feel about that? Masturbation as a whole.
I was always under the impression of that masturbation was wrong, and in any way whatsoever. Of course, growing up, because that's what we were led to believe, or as we were taught. Of course, now, not only as an adult, but also within the jail system.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing where the effects it has on people that are not just incarcerated, but that are entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that as also being in the military, where you're not incarcerated, but you may be on a ship, you may be out and about, and you're apart from civilization and any form. So it would also be in both ways, because I believe the same problem does happen when you're in solitude. So,
yeah.
But back to the jail system, to where there's actual rape cases that goes on,
right.
And you either hear about it or you've witnessed it at one point or another, or you've come privy to it, to where it's been going on, or to where there's some sort of, after a while, the guys become okay with it, which you have to let them know that, hey, man, ain't nothing okay with this,
yeah.
this happening like this, you know?
Right.
And then now also there is a punishment for masturbation in the jail system.
Yeah.
So that's not allowed. And it goes back to, like I started off with, it's there to
okay.
that this is the wrong act. So there is no, there is no thumbs up that we're allowed to give toward masturbation, whether it is better, you know, to do this than that. Either way, if it can be done without us finding out or anyone finding out, then by all means, you know, like you said, take care of yourself, whatever. But if it is to be, it's not to be done in the open. It's not to be, I should say.
Right. I think not to cut you off, but I think the operative word that you said out of that whole sentence was solitude, solitary. something that's by himself, a person that's in a place or area, be it incarceration or be it at home privately, is the privacy of your solitude, of your privacy, where you are allowed to carry on this act. And as our callers and as our listeners can see, that there are three very, very different opinions, and I love this about my panel, because I've walked in personally and caught my son, and I didn't catch him because he wasn't doing anything illegal as far as I was concerned. But me being the comedian that I was, I just turned around out the bathroom real quick and said, boy, you're going to break that thing off, you know, so that he wouldn't see. You keep on doing that and see, don't you break it. But I didn't want to say, oh my God, what are you, and get the belt and this and that. And now this is another feeling that's hidden and locked inside of himself when he's in solitude, be it in his bedroom. So I think that it's the way that we approach it. I think that it's up to the way that we approach the subject. I have no problems. I have none whatsoever. I have been in the system where I walked down the hall and I was just going to interview an inmate. I had no idea. And the guy was over there and I saw the covers moving and I saw him looking at me grinning. I ain't paying no attention. And they gave this guy disciplinary procedures. And I'm going to tell y'all something. I kind of felt good, and I started looking for my good hair and my good girdle for tomorrow when I go back. Because I didn't even know. I'm sorry, but I didn't even know that I was jack-offable, whatever that word is. I didn't even know that a man could look at me and think such things. But here this man is giving up more of his time, and he'd rather get a disciplinary procedure based on me? What? You crazy. You crazy. I'm finna get my new teeth off and lay away. So... But the answer to our original question, girls don't masturbate, and the survey says this is all a myth. And I think that the survey, along all three answers, it really hit with Miss Massey's answer the most, because the study shows that this is a myth. Girls, in fact, are curious about their bodies, and they do masturbate. However, on an average, guys are more likely to report that they masturbate than girls. So women might be afraid to engage in or admit to it masturbating to the same degree as guys do. So the study does not know whether it's true, in fact, or if it's not. It's just that we won't admit it the way guys do. So but they do say it's a myth. They do say that it is definitely a myth. There's just so much that we need to think about. And I would, like I said, I would rather have my youngster to appease himself in the solitude of his room, whereas to go out and just harass and harass somebody's young girl, and then I don't know if that's going to lead to a more aggressive behavior. Right. Because guys get turned down every day. They get turned down every 12 times to every two of us getting turned down, guys. Right. And they're bred to be turned down. You've been in the club where a guy walked over to you and asked you to dance, and you're like, no. Knowing you were sitting there tearing that chair up, wanting to dance, but for some reason, around your girls, you just want to say no. So that's one of the other things I wanted to say. Now, Ms. Massey, was there any studies that you wanted to touch on or any subjects you wanted to touch on? Because I'm keeping my eye on my clock this time. So let's get to whatever it is that you wanted to say.
Okay. I was reading a study. I went online to Psychology Today, and I pulled up where it talks about teens and sex.
Mm-hmm.
And it was talking about why teens start having sex in the first place. And they talk about environment, age of partner, and perceived family support may affect young people's decision to have sex. But what really was brought to my attention is it talks about a study that they did where researchers at the University of Kentucky followed like 950 teenagers at 17 high schools. And wow. They found evidence that these teens would have intercourse, tend to think that their friends are too, even if they weren't. So it basically says you are 2.5 times more likely to have sex by the ninth grade if you think your friends are having sex, whether they are or not. So I guess what they're basically saying is, you know, these young people are really experiencing a lot of peer pressure, you know, to engage into sexual activity. They're seeing images on television and videos to engage in sexual activities, you know, casually, you know, not taking to, you know, consideration, you know, like how we were raised to believe mm-hmm. that you don't really have sex until you're married. Now, a lot of us just fall short on not being sexually active until we were married, but mm-hmm. it's seen as more casual than anything. You know, not any long-term longevity is basically what I'm saying.
Okay.
And I just wanted to share that with you because I thought it was pretty interesting.
Okay. Any thoughts, Coleman?
On that subject or the subject entirely?
Okay. Yeah, any thoughts?
Okay. Mostly, I can give you the conversation I've had with my daughter, my baby girl, my princess, who asked me about love and if she found someone she loved and all the stuff like that. And I'm thinking, oh, no, here it comes. And she wants to talk about boys, and she's only 12 herself, just getting 12, and she wants to talk about sex. And I'm going, oh, I'm preparing myself. So I think that it was that question, and I gave it to her as much as I can tell her that people love each other, real love. When people are old enough, I said, not puppy love. Puppy love is what two little kids have. That's puppy love. That's not love. That's light. That's puppy love.
Right.
And grown folks have love when, like your mom and your daddy, when you love someone, you can afford to take care of them. And you can afford to take care of them, then you can love somebody. I can afford to take care of your mama. Your mama can
right.
afford to take care of that. And should we, we're able to afford to take care of babies.
Right,
and that's
right.
You're in love, and you can afford to do things and stuff for it because you're grown and you can afford to do this. Now, you can't afford to take care of no boy on your own, and you can't. And you're not in love. That's not love. You can't afford to take care of no baby. You better not be trying to make babies, and that's what sex is. Sex is making babies. I don't care what kind of feeling it is. You're trying to make a baby.
True.
That's what you're trying to do. You're trying to make a baby. Are you ready to have a baby? Are you, you think you can afford to have a baby? You ready to get out the house and have your baby? You know.
Is you ready?
Are you ready? You're ready. You let us know, and we love you. We support you when you're ready to have the baby. But you make sure that you can afford to go to the doctor, go to the hospital. You got to drive to the hospital, but, you know, we're not going to take you. You know, you got to get your car first and be able to drive to the hospital. You think he's going to borrow his mama car to come get you to take you to the
hospital? Wow.
No, we're going to be there for you, but I'm not going to take you to the hospital. I mean, you got to be able to do that, you know? And you got cab money. You got money for the cab. It costs money to have a baby. You know, so you have all that ready, then you can decide to go ahead and get ready to make a baby. But if you don't have all that stuff, you know, now she's like, oh, she didn't think it all goes. Yeah, you got to go into that. I said, your daddy was planning. I plan to have the kids. You plan to have babies. You don't just go out and make babies. We plan this thing. You and your mama got together. We plan this. You know, we love you. We have to name all pigs out. Even before we even started. I said, we knew we was going to have a baby before we started making babies.
Right.
So,
but Coleman, you know, Planned Parenthood, I mean, that is such a foreign subject. Nobody plans that anymore. Me and my husband planned, we was having a long discussion in the back of his 57 Chevy about Planned Parenthood, and it happened. Nobody has that anymore, that Planned Parenthood talk. The kids nowadays don't even think like that. Planned Parenthood, what is that? That's an oxymoron.
I would beg to differ, which is another subject entirely, because I didn't plan, but I can tell you what, and I've been married, and since I've had three kids, I've mentored to young men, gentlemen, newly wed, new husbands, even boyfriends that are going off to college or whatever. I've let them know that when your girlfriend asks you about having kids, when your girlfriend asks you about what's a baby's name and so forth, when your wife, your newlywed wife, says, what do you think about having babies, at that point, she's planning. You need to do is double up, triple up, grab you some maximum size condoms, and so forth, so forth, and don't trust her taking the pill because planning.
Right.
When you tell me, and I've had several tell me, oh no, we talked about it. We agreed. You agreed. She didn't agree. She was notifying you. That was your notice. That wasn't a discussion. That was a notice. She put you on notice. So that's planned. And I found out, you know, after three kids that, wait a minute, we did have that discussion. And we did agree. But then again, it was perfectly timed. And my kids are 2 years apart, and I give my wife credit now that it was perfectly timed, and we got them out of the way. And I've gotten a pat on the back. Man, you did a good job. You got these guys two years apart, and that's perfect. Yeah, I take the credit for that now, you know. And I'm wait a minute. We agreed, but it was done. But she did notify me ahead of time, so I can't complain. You know, we did have a discussion. We did have, not discussion, I'm sorry, the notification, you know.
Yeah, but you already knew what time it was and what she was letting you know.
Exactly.
I understand that, and I give you kudos for that. But 9 times out of 10, your situation is so far and foreign to so many people, because how many people have, how many young ladies that I know and that I speak to on the daily, and we're all a part of some type of youth program, as you can see from our caller list and some of the people that I've been bumping into in my daily trails with the Spencer and the other people that's calling in, and the young lady that Miss Massey had the glory to call in and who had met and wanted to tell her story. We meet so many females, Mac, that says, listen, you know, when I told him I was pregnant, he went the other way. I mean, there are a plethora of stories because the girl is the one who have to take care of all of that. You know what I'm saying? And they just leave it on the woman, which is why I'm so happy that we tackled this issue. And with that being a wrap, I just wanted to thank you guys again for being my co-host and my panelists and being on the show with me. I look forward, because our next show is going to be Youth and Music. So we got to buckle down and do our homework, and I'm going to lead off with the music videos that I've had a chance to be in, Damn It Man, Piccolo, and Every Day I'm Hustling, Rick Ross. And I'm not the finest flower in the bunch. Still don't know, and thank God for the blessing of them hiring me for the music video. However, in my trailer, it was just us, and in the trailer next to us, it was a 100 fine little dimes, just, I mean, 38, 24, 38, just like, oh, my God. And so the next thing we're going to talk about is the music. Before I get out of here, I'd like to thank everyone, all of our listeners and all of our callers for calling in. I'd like to place another reminder of you to look at the America's Got Talent and be on the lookout for Alistair Ridley and make sure you vote because we have a 1 in 10 chance of having a millionaire in the family, and I'm trying to help her as much as I can. So give her a call once you see the show from all the reruns, and just remember that name, Alistair Ridley. And I'd like to thank a couple of sponsors that I didn't get a chance to do last week, especially Miss Barnes, who put us on, and especially Gemini Publishing Company and the PR company. They're wonderful. Everybody on the EOTM engine. And I'd like to tell you, if you're in the Miami area, be on the lookout. Come by and see us. We're going to be on Sultry Jazz. We have a Sultry Jazz show coming up. I won't be on. We won't be on next week Sunday, but we will be on in 2 weeks from now. So it will be one more week, and we won't be on, and then we'll come back with our music video. Okay. I just found out that Gemini Publishing and the PR company is not with us. But still, thank you to the sponsors, the EOTM Realty Company, EOTM Engine. I love you guys so much. I thank Miss Sabrina Massey and my other co-host, Sergeant Cold Man, because he is cold on the outside. But everybody knows that he's really warm and cuddly on the inside. Thank you guys for listening. I'm Lady T, and that has been our show. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love and kiss here today. Oh, picket lines and picket signs. Punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see. Oh, what's going on? What's going on? Yeah, what's going on? Oh, what's going on? Oh,
right on.
Oh, gosh. Come on, Teresa. Thank you, baby. That was a good one.